Chapter 50. January 5th of year 19. We will soon be there. Adam and Eve have insisted they will not stop for sleep until they have first seen the treetops of the forest appear on the horizon. These final kilometers are taking us longer than usual. We can see it. The forest looks impressive through its sheer height, even from afar. The tallest trees reach more than 200 meters. We soon notice, however, that the forest is much less static than the steppes. In fact, there appears to be a lot of movement going on there. I suspect that different microclimates develop in various layers, that the exchange between them causes this, that there also might be a lot of wind. I am surprised by the clear boundary to the forest, though. Wouldn't it be more logical if the forest started with smaller trees, and then they gradually got taller and stand closer to each other? I ask Adam and Eve. It doesn't matter, Adam says. There must be some reason for it, and the more we hurry, the sooner we find out. His prediction turns out to be true. We find the reason in the steppe about 5 kilometers before reaching the forest, where the ground is suddenly gray. There is absolutely no vegetation. It looks as if something had cleared the entire area from here to the forest. This time, not even the hair plants grow in the intermediate zone. I stop, analyze the ground, and am shocked at my finding. Back on Earth, not even a hazardous waste site would have accepted such contaminated soil. Adam, Eve, it is getting dangerous here, I warn them. Adam looks at me as if I was teasing him and says, Excuse me? What do you mean? The soil is pure poison, I reply. You have to close your helmets, otherwise you might faint. The air above the ground is also contaminated. Adam still gives me a skeptical look, but at least he obeys my instructions. What is the reason? Who did this? I don't know, Adam, I reply, but I have a suspicion. I remember the chemical warfare between the leafy plants. Could something like that happen between these plants and the forest, just on a larger scale? What are we witnessing, and what does it tell us about the nature of the forest? I carefully analyze the soil composition. If the leafy plants manage to stop the forest, this method might be adaptable to use as a weapon if required. Now of all times it is starting to rain. What would we have given during the last 2 weeks for this break in the routine? Adam and Eve are already 200 meters ahead of me, crossing the empty plain in front of the forest, while I realize the significance of my soil analysis. The high content of salts, fluorine, chlorine, sulfur. What will happen if this stuff gets thoroughly soaked? How quickly will the ions separate in the water? How long will it take before hydrofluoric acid, hydrochloric acid, and sulfuric acid develop? Adam, Eve, come back as quickly as possible, I tell them via radio. I can see that Eve reacts and stops. Are you crazy, Marchenko? Adam explains. I do not know what he is thinking, but I must stop him from continuing toward the forest. Adam, you will soon be walking through a lake of acid. Your boots won't be able to withstand that, I warn him. I have no idea whether this will really happen. Maybe the water will run off fast enough, and the worst Adam has to fear is muddy boots. But then again, I could also be right. I hope he will listen to me. At least he stops now. Eve walks to him, and the two discuss something with their radios turned off. Eve was always the more sensible of the two. She should be able to convince him. But then afterward, the two of them just shake hands. Eve walks in my direction while Adam moves toward the forest. His helmet radio is still off. I implore him to come back, but of course, I can't get through. The rain is increasing, and a lightning bolt flashes from the clouds, striking out in the open. Eve starts running. I briefly lose sight of Adam, and when I look back in his direction, the field is covered with fog. He is gone. Adam, come back, I yell over the helmet radio. Eve will reach me in a moment, and we should be safe here where the leafy plants are still growing. What about Adam? I hear Eve also trying to reach him via radio. The fog turns thicker and grows closer, as if the lower edge of the storm cloud touched the ground. Then we hear a splashing sound. We must have heard it at the same time, because we simultaneously turn our heads in the direction of the sound. Adam comes racing toward us, covered with mud, but it does not seem to be adversely affecting him. He sees us at the last moment and almost crashes into us, but I manage to catch him.
"That's the last time you'll need to say I told you so. That's a promise, Marchenko," he gasps, almost out of breath.
No matter. The important thing is that nothing has happened to him. The future does not matter either. For the moment, it's the present that counts. A present in which we are being soaked by dense, warm rain, and nothing in this world can harm us.